You're listening to the Choose You Podcast, episode 16. Hey guys, my name is Carmen Sakurai. I'm a life strategist certified in cognitive behavioral coaching and dialectical behavioral therapy. I specialize in codependency recovery, and I'm an advocate for victims of narcissistic abuse. On this episode, I'm going to give you some strategies to help survive this COVID-19 self-isolation while taking care of your mental and emotional health. Let's begin. For those of you on lockdown with a narcissist or other antisocial personality, I recorded a separate episode just for you, so don't worry, I got you guys. During traumatic experiences, such as the one we're currently going through together worldwide, it's normal for emotions to blow up and overwhelm us. Now, add recovery from psychological abuse on top of that, and emotions and their interpretations can get distorted real fast. This is a very rough spot to be in right now, and I'm going to give you 10 things that can possibly make surviving this lockdown a little more doable while taking care of your mental and emotional health. The first one is review, adjust, and defend your boundaries. So boundaries are the mental, emotional, and physical limits to how others can treat you, behave around you, and what they can expect from you. Not only do boundaries defend us from being violated by others, they help us to clearly distinguish who we are and what we need from other people and their needs. This is important because if you're a codependent or someone who overfunctions, you tend to melt into others and the line between you and the other person gets blurred out, right? Boundaries will help you separate your thoughts and feelings from that of another person's. And even if you think you have strong boundaries, it's a good idea to occasionally reflect on your rules and make any adjustments. For example, I review my boundaries anytime I feel uncomfortable after an encounter with another person. I ask, why do I feel this way? Did I say yes to something I really wanted to say no to? Did I allow someone to say or behave in a way that isn't okay with me? Or am I making excuses for people again? I also want to point out that there's a difference between knowing our boundaries versus setting and enforcing them. It's easy to say, I'm not going to let anyone treat me like garbage, without realizing we've been making excuses for someone to treat us badly. I mean, I've always walked around like people know better than to treat me like trash, but then I get dragged across knives for 2 years by a narcissist. I've explained all this in detail on episode 8, so I encourage you to take a listen. And I've also included a link to my free boundaries worksheet in the show notes. Number 2, enforce no contact or low contact. No contact means you clean out your space so you have a safe place to heal and recover from the abuse inflicted on you by the narcissist and other toxic people. When you do no contact, you block them from every possible form of communication and social networks. You're essentially saying, hey, you no longer exist in my world anymore. And if you're in circumstances where it's impossible to sever all ties with a narcissist, such as having children with them, you need to do low contact. The goal here is to create boundaries which ensure as little contact and least emotional effort as possible. I've prepared a no contact guide for you to download. It lays out a step-by-step to properly execute no contact, low contact, emotional no contact, and gray rock. The link is in the show notes. Keep in mind that self-isolation isn't just affecting you, the survivor, but also the abuser. Narcissists are dependent on external approval and admiration, so many of them will be looking for vulnerable victims to hoover back into the cycle of abuse. If you receive a just checking in or do you need anything type of communication from the narcissist, delete and block immediately. Keep in mind that they do not miss you. They're simply going down the list of people they think will give them the time of day to extract narcissistic supply from. And please, please, please don't trick yourself into thinking that if you were there for them, they'll have second thoughts about you and realize how wonderful you are, because they're absolutely incapable of that thought process and reasoning. If after you block the narc, they continue to harass or stalk you, document everything and report if necessary. At this time, we're all dependent on digital communication more than ever, so please make certain you consciously protect your space and only keep the right type of people to connect with. Number 3, emotionally detach. The attachment we have to the narcissist is incredibly dangerous because it's a very unhealthy dependence of the victim to the abuser. Most survivors mistaken this attachment as love, but it's not. It's an addiction to the relief you felt when the abuser threw scraps of attention your way after a prolonged period of treating you like garbage. So in order to detach, it's not only necessary to enforce no contact or low contact, but also to do emotional no contact, where you stop depending on the toxic person for approval and validation. You're basically saying, you can't make or break me because you're irrelevant, because they are. Remember, narcissists cannot make you happy. They can't make you whole. Heck, they can't even do that for themselves, which is why they rely on the people and things around them to supply them with an identity and sense of worth. You can get more from a cute little pet. They give you unconditional love, or even a plant, because plants provide oxygen. The only real thing a narc can give you is false hope and trauma. Number 4, self-care. Practicing self-care is so important during this time, and self-care doesn't have to be about bubble baths and massages. You can listen to guided meditations online, take advantage of online mindfulness tools, watch relaxing videos, comedies, and everybody loves pet videos. I know people who enjoy taking a time out with adult coloring book apps. There are plenty of free selections available. You can put on soothing music, learn to prepare simple, healthy snacks that you can treat yourself with whenever you want. And self-care also includes exercise. And in the next section, I'll be giving you plenty of free and fun options to choose from. Number 5, move your body. Physical activities such as aerobics and even hula hooping release feel-good chemicals such as dopamine and is as beneficial as taking antidepressants for mild depression. Even stretching out your body while getting some fresh air in your backyard or balcony will help. I made a list of free workouts that you can download on your smartphone, as well as workout plans on YouTube. The link is in the show notes. Number 6, get sleep. Some studies have found that loneliness can be associated with poor sleep quality. I'm not going to get into the psychology of this right now, but sleep helps your brain filter out the unimportant things so you don't get overwhelmed, which is why it's so important to get decent amounts of sleep to help you feel more energized and balanced out. Some strategies for better sleep includes limiting caffeine, writing to clear your mind, and cutting off all screen time 1 hour before bed because your phone, tablets, and TV can emit blue light that can contribute to poor sleep. I know when I don't get enough sleep, my mental and emotional health suffers. I think and respond slower, and I get really emotional. So please get some sleep. Number 7, listen to music. Science proves that there are health benefits to music, and it makes people feel happy. Upbeat tunes can shift your mood, put you in touch with positive memories, or inspire you while working or working out. Belt out your favorite tunes while you're at it. Singing releases endorphins, which helps lift you up and reduce stress. It even helps you get more oxygen into the blood for improved circulation, resulting in better moods. And it also calls for deep breathing, which reduces anxiety. Number 8. Have a daily routine, and I cannot stress how important this is. Having a routine will help you move forward throughout your day instead of getting stuck in your head. If you're not used to spending all this time at home, being confined inside most of your day, every single day, it can be rough. Time almost becomes meaningless, right? After a while, you'll begin to feel unmotivated to do anything or become restless to a point where it drives you nuts. What you need right now is a daily routine to keep yourself structured and stable. Take time to plan your daily and weekly schedule. It may sound like a pain in the butt, but it'll actually make it easier for you to organize your days. Try to keep the same routine that you've had before lockdown. For example, block out a specific time to do work from home. If your school has transitioned to online classes, make sure to follow your class schedules and attend lectures. And if you have kids, help them establish a routine as well. This includes waking up and going to bed at the same time, scheduling school and break times, as well as family activity times. This will provide them with a sense of security and predictability, which is important for the child's development. I've included a sample quarantine schedule to get you started. Okay, where are we now? Number 9, find new hobbies. What's something you've been wanting to try but never had time for? Do you want to learn to cook? How about dance or knit? Learn to program a video game or play an instrument? There's so many free resources online that you can learn and get ideas from. Recipes, dance instructions, knitting and crocheting, game programming tutorials, and music lessons. Ask Google. You'll get lots of options. Number 10, identify your support. Maintain contact with family members, friends, and neighbors through safe outlets like FaceTime, email, phone calls, and text messages. Reach out and lean on people who get you because this is a very sensitive time and you do not need to attach yourself to those who are not looking out for you. You can even stay connected with me if you'd like. If you have questions you want me to answer or just vent to someone who's been there, you can text me. Get details at carmensacrae.com/textcoach. And again, the links are in the show notes. All right, this certainly is a challenging time for us all, but please keep taking good care of yourself, take advantage of your me time, and grab all the sources I've included here. You can do this, and we'll get through this together. Thank you so much for joining me. If you found this episode helpful, please subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or on your favorite podcasting app. And if you know someone who can benefit from the information covered, please feel free to share. Resources mentioned in this episode are listed in the show notes. I'm Carmen Sacrae, and until next time, choose you. Do it for yourself and for all of us, because our world is a better place for having you in it. Love and God bless.